Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
When I was a kid growing up, I used to love astronomy. I had a little telescope that Mom bought me one Christmas and loved to look up at the stars and imagine one day that I'd be an astronaut. Of course, being almost blind when it comes to not being able to see without glasses and being totally out of shape and things like that, qualifying to be an astronaut was never a realistic goal. Nonetheless, when I think about things like Mars and Venus and this planet Earth and things of that nature, I just find that very interesting. And there was a book that came out many years ago called Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus. Maestro, did you ever read that book?
I've read portions here and there.
Well, you're a step ahead of me, because even though I know the title, I've never touched it. But I know kind of what the whole point was, just from having people tell me about what the point was. And even though I haven't read the book and haven't really digested it, I can tell you that based on what I know about the book, I experienced this very phenomenon at my own house just a couple of days ago, and I wanted to share with you what happened at the Romeiser household on that fateful day. But before I do, greetings and salutations to you. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and if you'd like to join us by phone or text or email, here's how you can. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. My son and my youngest daughter, and to some degree my oldest daughter, have gotten into this YouTube program called Good Mythical Morning. I think I've mentioned it on the show a time or two in the past. They really love it. And it's really good, clean, humorous fun, which is why I like it too. And then from time to time when I'm sitting at the desk in the office, one or more of the kiddies will come up to me with their electronic device, the iPod usually, and they will show to me something that made them laugh. Well, my son comes up to me the other day, and he shows me a piece of an episode that is from Good Mythical Morning. The name of the episode is Reinventing the S'more. I will link to this episode on my website, careercallings.net/radio, so that you can enjoy it as much as I did. Several things in that show that were hilarious, but this is what really helped me to understand that men are from Mars, women are from Venus. So, Maestro, if you'll play the bad dad joke for me, I'd appreciate that.
Hey,
congratulations to Alexander 77938.
You win a bad dad joke. Hey, Link, how does @Alexander 77938 organize a space party?
I don't know. How does Alexander something organize a space party?
They plan it.
Okay, that was pretty funny. I died laughing. Now, see, the reason they did that in the first place is because at the end of their shows, and they're only like 15 minutes long, so it's not like it takes a lot of time to watch them, but at the end of their shows, they spin this little wheel, kind of reminds me of a Wheel of Fortune wheel, and they take someone's name from the basket of people who have emailed them and tweeted them and things of that nature. And this kid, probably, if I saw the picture, or when I saw the picture, he's probably 14, 15 years old, had asked this question, so these guys responded that way, and I died laughing. I'm just dying laughing. My head rolls, you know, I throw my head back, and I'm just this big, big belly laugh. My son, 13, seeing his father laugh like a fool, decides to join in. And we're listening to this episode on headphones. So my wife, whose desk is right behind mine in the office, sees this happening, hears us laughing, but has no clue what the scoop is. So she says, "What's going on?" And we tell her. And she said, "Well, let me listen to it." And so we let her listen to it. And by the time she gets done listening to it, all the response is from her is that little smirk, that little twist of the corner of the mouth upwards. And when I saw that, I knew what it meant. It meant that she did not find that funny, but she didn't want us to feel like fools for thinking it was funny. So she was trying to act like she was at least somewhat amused. So I asked her, "Honey, didn't you think that was funny?" And she said, "No, not really." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "I don't know, it just wasn't." So there is another example of how men are from Mars, women are from Venus, because my son and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. My wife and my youngest daughter, who listened to it too, just had the same reaction. Neither one of them found it that funny. I can't see how you couldn't find that hilarious. But, you know, it is. Maestro, did you think that was funny?
They plan it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you? I mean, that was brilliant.
Give it a chuckle.
Yeah. You're patronizing me too, aren't you? Or excuse me, patronizing me, as my son likes to.
You're supposed to
pronounce that patronizing, Dad. Yeah. Not patronizing. Patronizing is shopping. Okay, well, sure, whatever. Thanks a lot, Mr. Genius. But I digress from what the real purpose is of our show. We're here to help you find your calling, discover your calling, and pursue it. So let's talk about discovering your calling for a few minutes. I'm going to review an article with you here that I ran across on entrepreneur.com. That's the website of Entrepreneur Magazine. And this was written by a guy named Tor Constantino, titled "How to Read the Three Signs Telling You Your Purpose in Life." And it was pretty good. It was written back a few weeks ago, and it was a pretty good read, short read, but pretty good. He was actually reviewing a book called The Art of Work by a guy named Jeff Goings. And in that book, there were three things that Jeff Goings had really hammered home, three actionable tactics that anyone can use to identify their calling. Here was the first one. Listen to your life. That was the first one. Now, what he meant by listen to your life is basically look at your past and see if there's any kind of unifying thread or pattern that is consistent throughout your past, that's also consistent with your passions and skills. And his point was this: if you can kind of go back into the past and see a unifying thread of activity where you've done something well, you've done it passionately, you've enjoyed it, that thread might be a clue to what your purpose in life is. And he did say in the article that just because you had that happen in the past, it's kind of like what you hear from stockbrokers. Past performance is no predictor of future success. But it's a very good clue. And just to kind of get your mind thinking as you think about this in your own life, I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, and I'm definitely going to say it again right now. As I look back into my past and look for a unifying thread, it's teaching. From my earliest days in elementary school, I remember kids coming up to me and saying, "Hey, did you understand what the teacher said? Could you please explain it to me? Because I'm clueless." And I really enjoy doing that. I got a kick out of doing that then. I get a kick out of that doing that now. I'm passionate about helping people understand concepts. And I love to learn. I love to read. I love to research and then turn around and take that information that I have learned and share it with other people. So that's the unifying thread in my life. And it's one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing right now on the radio airwaves. So now, he did also mention, by the way, that if you look back into your past, not only will that give you a clue as to what maybe your purpose in life is, it will also give you a clue, or maybe more than one clue, as to what you ought not be doing as part of your purpose in life. And I'm sure you and I, everybody, can look back into their past if they have any significant amount of life behind them and look at things that they tried maybe on multiple occasions that didn't turn out so well, that they didn't have a passion for, that they really never could get past mediocrity with, and that's something you ought not be trying to do in the future anymore, whether that be sales or engineering or whatever, something you just didn't have a passion for and we're not good at either. You really should not be looking to that for your future purpose. That was the first one. The second one they came up with was something called accidental apprenticeships. accidental apprenticeships. And as the author writes, the reality is that nobody achieves success or realizes their life purpose by themselves. It's a process that requires and demands a team of mentors providing guidance. And I have to attest to that being true, too. As I look back on the failures in my life, vocationally, and personally for that matter, it's because I tried to do it alone. And God did not create us to be an island unto ourselves. Everything we do, everything we are, influences people around us. And we need to understand that we cannot accomplish God's purposes in our own power, in our own strength. We need help. Help from the Lord, certainly, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later on, but also help from other people. And sometimes that help from other people will come in the form of you actually searching them out, looking for mentors, but sometimes those mentors will come along as accidental apprenticeships. And if I can give you one personal story that applied to me, that nothing to do with job per se, with a job or a career per se, but some years ago, I was in a Toastmasters club, and a friend of mine came up, a lady that's probably, I'd say, 20 years my elder. She already had grown children at the time. And in a casual conversation, just out of the blue, not sure how we got on the topic, she just shared with me a piece of parenting advice that I have never forgotten, and then I have been reminded of on multiple occasions. And I think it has made a huge, tremendous impact in my parenting of my three children. It was basically this. If it's important to your children, it needs to be important to you. If it's important to your children, it needs to be important to you. And I can't tell you how many times I have remembered that accidental advice. When I have been busy trying to do something for work and one of the kids comes up and wants to share with me something from Good Mythical Morning or something else. And my tendency, my gut reaction is, don't have time for that, leave me alone. But then I have to stop myself and say, you know what, this is important to the kids. I can take 30 seconds of my life or 2 minutes of my life to share in this which they think is important to them. Number three, prep for painful practice. There's a myth that once you know what it is that you're supposed to pursue, achieving that purpose will be easy because it plays to your strengths and passions. And that's just not the case. You will not look or talk to any accomplished athlete or accomplished musician and find out that they're accomplished just by waking up in the morning and looking good. They have to work hours upon hours upon hours of practice in order to become a master at what they do. And I want to finish up with this topic and this article on the other side of the break. We just have a couple more comments to say, so go grab that cup of coffee or that Red Bull, whatever you need, to stay focused and energetic. See you on the other side of the break. Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I hope you got that Red Bull or that cup of coffee I mentioned just before the break, because we are back to have more fun on Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. Yes, here to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can join us today at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Prior to the break, we were reviewing an article entitled How to Read the Three Signs Telling You Your Purpose in Life, and we hit the three. Just a quick recap. Number one was listen to your life. The idea behind that was look into your past, see if there's a unique thread or a common thread or pattern of things you do well and love, that have kind of been there all your life, and also things that you don't do well and don't love. Those are the kind of things you want to avoid. Number two was accidental apprenticeships. That basically means you need mentors to get from point A to point B. You might know what God's purpose is in your life, but you need help getting there. Doing it all by yourself is usually a non-starter. Number three was prep for painful practice. Even if you know, once you know what God's purpose is in your life, it's going to take practice. It's even the athlete, the professional athlete, the Olympic athlete, the professional musician, they spend hours and hours and hours training, honing their skills. Nothing is automatic. Even once you know the direction you want to go in, you got to be prepared to pursue that work pursue it with lots of painful practice. Grinding it out is not fun, but it will help you achieve the goals that God wants you to achieve. The key, just wrapping up the article here, the key is finding where your abilities and personal drive intersect the needs of others. And three key questions to help you kind of find out and identify where that intersection is number one, what do I love? Number two, what am I good at? But you can't stop there. What you love and what you're good at is underwater basket weaving, you're probably not going to get too far. I mean, you might, don't get me wrong. I mean, people have built empires on things you wouldn't expect. But for most of the time, what do I love and what am I good at? You also have to find out how those two things intersect with this third question. What does the world need? What does the world need? What do I love? What am I good at? What does the world need? And once that sweet spot is identified, you won't have a job or even a career. You'll have a life purpose. And again, just using this radio program as an example, that's why we're here. I mean, I love to teach. Based on what other people have told me, I guess I'm pretty good at it. And that's what other people have said, so that's what I'm running with. And what does the world need? I have learned, especially doing this, I suspected before I started doing this, but I have learned since doing this, how many people have struggled with the same things I have struggled with. Lord, what's my purpose? How do you want me to live that out in my daily vocation and career? How do I find out what I'm supposed to be doing for you? And then how do I go about pursuing that work? And that's the whole idea behind Career Callings. And it's amazing how many people struggle with the same thing I've struggled with for 20 years, 20 or more years. And I'm honored that the Lord would allow me to be here every day to help people that are struggling the same way I have in my adult life. Now, one thing I want to point out that is not in this article, but is a crucial ingredient in making all of this happen and pursuing your purpose in life as God defines it for you, is it two things. Number one, you got to remember what James 1:5 says. And I'm just going to summarize, and I'm not going to quote it per se, but basically, if you got to have God's wisdom if you want to be able to achieve anything for God, and the way you get wisdom from Him is to pray for it. You have to access God's wisdom and God's power in order to pursue what He wants you to pursue. And if you try to do His will in your own light, in your own strength, rather, in your own power, you're going to fail. And you're going to fail miserably. God actually, and this is something I had learned recently, God actually will resist you if you try to do His work in your power. He hates it when we rely on mankind's power to accomplish heavenly goals, whether we rely on our own strength or whether we rely on the strength of other people that we think are stronger than us. He does not like it. And to prove that, let me just quote one of many verses in the Bible that articulate the way that God sees us when we try to rely on our own power. Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah was alive in the days of the Babylonian captivity, so he was preaching to a nation of Israel that did represent the children of God, and they were in great sin, and that's what led to the Babylonian captivity. But Jeremiah 17:5 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And there is the key. When we try to do God's work in our own power, we're departing from Him in our worship, in our daily walk. And we're trusting ourselves rather than Him. And that basically, my friends, is idol worship. And that's breaking one of the Ten Commandments right there. When you're putting your faith in yourself rather than the God Creator who created you, you're engaged in idol worship. And He will resist you. He has resisted me. And the things that have actually flourished in my life for Him and in the purposes He's given me is when I have stood back and said, "Lord, I'm trusting myself. Please forgive me for that. And I'm going to place my trust in You. Would You please make this thing happen that You want to have happen? Because I'm powerless to do so." And when I have stood back and allowed Him to do His work, to be my God, to conduct His miracles in my life, they have indeed happened. And I believe that they will for you as well. Psalm 33:16, just to kind of wrap up that idea, says this, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength." So I don't care how strong you think you are, you will not accomplish God's goals in your own power. You're going to have to step aside and let God take the wheel of your life. And then and only then will you have any shot at actually doing what He wants you to do with your life. All right? Now, we're going to take another direction here and talk a little bit about the interview process. Another article I'd like to review with you is something called Five Reasons You're Getting Knocked Out in the First Round of Interviews and How to Stop. But before we do that, we have to bring back from the archives of the Career Callings Radio Show one of my favorite lessons on interviewing, outwitting the interviewer.
Mrs. Carruthers, welcome.
Thank you.
Come on in,
have
a seat. Of course. I have been looking over your resume, and I have to say I am very impressed.
Oh, thank you.
You know, actually, I think, to be honest, you are overqualified to be an accountant.
Oh, well, that's okay. I don't intend to work very hard.
Really?
Absolutely. In fact, I only intend to show up when I feel like it, which is good because I have a wide variety of extremely annoying personal habits and absolutely no sense of hygiene.
Oh. You know, then I don't feel like you're then the correct person for this position.
That's okay, I quit.
You can't quit, you don't work here.
Like I would ever work here.
Like we would ever hire you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And even if you did work here, I wouldn't even give you the opportunity to quit because I would fire you.
Well, you can't fire me because I don't work here.
That's right, you don't, and I would can so quick.
Prove it.
Okay, you've got the job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And now it is my pleasure to inform you that
I quit.
You can't quit. I fired you.
No, it's too late. I don't work here anymore.
Fine. Let's try this again. You've got the job and now you're fired.
No, you offered me the job, but I never accepted. Look, I've already worked for you. It's very tedious. And now you want me back. I think it's a regressive career move.
Okay. What can we do to get you to come work for us?
A raise.
A raise?
$200 an hour.
$200 an hour. Okay, prorated to the 10 seconds you're going to be working here, so 12 cents?
And this time I promise I won't quit.
You promise you won't quit? You promise you'll let me fire you?
If you still want to.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to want to. So we have a deal?
Not yet. I've already been an accountant here. I feel like I've outgrown the position. I want something higher. How about junior vice president?
Junior vice president. $200 an hour, or 12 cents, whichever comes first, and you promise not to quit before I have the opportunity to fire you.
That's correct.
Great. We've got the job.
I accept.
Great! Now you're fired!
Oh, you can't fire me. I'm junior vice president. I'm your boss.
There you go. That's the way, my friends, to conduct your next job interview. I love it. I could listen to that every morning and just get my head right. You know what I'm saying? All right, five reasons you're getting knocked out in the first round of your interviews and how to stop. There are five things here. We'll run down the list real quickly and comment on them as time allows. Number one, you come off as a poor cultural fit. Yeah, you don't want to show up in your Sunday clothes if the people work there in jeans and t-shirts, or vice versa for that matter. So do a little bit of research ahead of time. Find out what the corporate culture is like, not only from a dress code standpoint, but also do what you can to find out what the value system is there. Because as a Christian, if you go into a value system workplace that is totally against everything you stand for, you're not going to be happy, they're not going to be happy, and you're not going to last long. So that's number one. Do a little bit of research before you get into an interview and find all that out. Number two, you're an interrupter. You're a person who always interrupts the other person in a conversation. And that's very... it's very easy to do that when you're in an interview trying to impress people. You want to just jump on a question to show how smart you are. Well, don't do that. And one way you can avoid doing that is to take this mindset. They're trying to prove themselves to me just like I'm trying to prove myself to them. And if you think of it that way, it'll be a lot less pressure. Number three, you reek of neediness. If you're desperate and you act like it, it's going to turn off a lot of HR managers. So no matter how desperate you are, remember the truth of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll provide your needs. All right? If you can remember to trust God, not the job, you won't be so needy. Number four, you give off a vibe that onboarding you will be extensive. In other words, it's going to take a lot to train you. Well, it's okay to have a little bit of training needs, but be able to show your HR person that you have the skills necessary and that you can provide or help them achieve their goals. Number five, you're a what's in it for me candidate. One of the last things you want to do is ask for job, salaries, and benefits in the first interview. What you want to do in the first interview is prove that you can help them. And then in the future, in subsequent interviews, then you can worry about the package they'll offer to you. If you make that the focus, you're going to appear very, very selfish. Get a free podcast of today's program and all the links you need at careercallings.net/radio. God bless.